What's up, Mets fans? Welcome to the Whole Lotta Mets podcast. I just got finished wrapping up a brilliant show in my eyes with Jem from MetsJunkies.com. Y'all go and check him out. We talked about Arenado, Lindor, free agency. We talked about it all. This podcast is just a conversation with me and him. I hope you guys enjoy it. Really, really good show in my eyes. My favorite one to do so far. Y'all check it out. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Meddy, what is going on, buddy?
What's up, Jim? How you feeling?
I am great. And first off, thank you for having me on, man. This is like an honor, dude.
No problem, Jim. How you doing?
I am doing great. Sorry for the delay. I know we were supposed to get up a little bit earlier. However, there were some things that I had to take care of. So technical, I definitely appreciate your patience. Say it again.
Technical difficulties, huh?
It's all good, man.
It's all good. Yeah. Technical difficulties in different ways, you know?
and it always happens when you're supposed to hit that record button for some reason.
I know, right? Always. It's like a long car trip. You know, at 15 minutes in, you're like, oh, fuck.
Exactly. I feel like you know exactly what I'm talking about when it comes to this.
Oh, man. Unfortunately, you know, but like you got to do what you got to do sometimes.
The show has to, you know, continue.
The show has to go on. Yes, sir. All right, guys. So we got Jem from MetsJunkies.com. Jem, if you want to explain what your website is all about, you got the floor.
Sure. MetsJunkies.com is a website I started about, it was in between 4 and 5 years ago. Around that time, also me and a buddy, who's also now a writer on the site. However, me and a buddy, we got together and decided to write a book just to kind of recap the 2016 season. It was the year after 2015, obviously. So 2016, from the very beginning, I thought
the wild card loss, right?
Yeah.
That was the year.
Yes, that was
Casey Gillespie. Oh, man.
Exactly. So, I mean, but however, going into that year, I mean, I thought we were going to go all the way, you know, the just that year we had the year before, the trajectory seemed that 2016 season was ours. However, it didn't happen like that. We ended up writing the book anyway. It was turned out to be a little bit more depressing than anything. however, it was fun. Built a bond with a great dude, great writer. And I was kind of like I was telling you earlier, what I ended up doing was I ended up going to like 15 or 20 different websites and blogs. And I was like, hey, man, let me write for you. I love the Mets. Let me write. And apps, either I didn't get any responses or everyone was just like, no, absolutely not.
I feel you on that. Yeah. I feel you on that.
So I'm not going to lie. For like a week, I was up in my bag of feelings. And yeah, so I was upset about that. But then I was like, you know what? Screw
you
them.
And Drake, huh?
Exactly. Got emo. So, So, you know, I said, screw them, screw everybody. I can do this on my own. Went ahead and got the domain, started the website. The first couple of years were rough, but after those first couple of years, I said, you know what? I'm going to start dedicating, really, really dedicating my time to this. I'm going to put my head down. My good friend, Corney, who's from Holland, who is a big time Mets fan, who is really knowledgeable about the Mets minor league system. So he's a great guy to have. He's a writer on the team. He joined, ended up joining a few other, a few other writers ended up joining. Now there's a team of 5 writers, excluding myself, and it's just a lot of fun, man. So I just want to thank all those people that told me no.
That's an alpha move right there.
Oh, yeah.
That's an alpha move.
And it was one of those things that it wasn't trying to be an alpha move. I'm just, at the end of the day, I'm one of those people, like I'm sure you are. I'm sure a lot of your listeners are, man, I'm out here chasing my dreams. So, you know, we're working a 9-to-5 in the meantime, but at the same time, we're out here attacking. And, you know, it may be an alpha move, but that's not even the mindset. The mindset is, again, just doing what you got to do and enjoying it in the process.
Yes, sir. And there's no better team right now to have a website about than our New York Mets, huh? Uncle Stevie Cohen and Alex, man, no better team right now.
I love it. You can't not love what's going on. The attitude around this New York Mets fan community has changed so drastically in the last couple of months from, you know, when we knew this was going to go down up until it was actually finally sealed. I had a little joke going on before the end of the season. My thing inside my head was the Wilpons are somehow going to end up keeping the team. And exactly.
Until the ink is dry, I was like, there's no way the Wilpons are not going to own this team. And then after that press conference, I was just like, holy shit, it's actually real. It's actually happening. We actually have the richest owner in baseball, and he wants to do it. The fact that he said that I'm not even in it for the money. Mm-hmm. I have a 9-to-5 job. Like, are you kidding me?
Right.
Which team is going to stop him? No.
Oh, man, it's what an exciting time. What an exciting time to be a Met fan.
Man, it's so exciting. So I've been on the James McCann train since day one, because it never made sense to go out and give JT a huge contract. It made no sense because we could get James McCann for about 1/3 of what it would cost for us to go and get JT. But now all of a sudden, right, he's like every single Mets fan, I think, on social media now is saying, oh yeah, I want McCann, I want this, I want that. When it's just like, yeah, but you should have been on that train for like a while already.
Yeah.
You know, because JT has been hurt at the end of every year the past 2 years.
Sure.
And he's an aging catcher. I mean, I know we have nonstop cash, but at the same time, right, I don't want a team that's a bunch of Jacoby Ellsbury's, you know?
Right. And, you know, I don't know if a lot of Met fans have great knowledge outside of the Mets and even the NL East. I think JT Realmuto was just a name that, you know, he's always been in the NL East his whole career. I think he's just that more familiar name, which makes him just a bit more sexier. And offensively, those stats are nice. So that's a thing. However, when it comes to JT Realmuto, I'm not even worried about the cost on actual price. I don't want to go down the line of having to worry about, okay, what are we going to do with a 36-year-old catcher this year? And then what his price is going to be at that age.
You don't want a Robinson Cano basically as your catcher.
No, you don't,
and you can't afford it. No team could afford it.
Definitely not as your catcher.
Exactly. So in my head, right, a perfect offseason would be Bauer, McCann, Liam Hendricks, and Alex Colome. I mean, I'm not that high on George Springer. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would be a fantastic sign, you know. Mm-hmm. He is an all-star outfielder. But at the same time, next year's offseason is going to be loaded.
Loaded.
Yeah. Baez, Lindor, Arenado, Noah, Conforto. It's going to be loaded.
Yeah. Do
I want to go ahead and give George around 25 a year? I mean, like, you're going to have to re-sign Conforto. You're going to have to re-sign Noah. And if you trade for Lindor, which we are going to get into real soon, mm-hmm. you're going to have to re-sign him.
Right.
So, like, yeah, he is the richest owner in baseball. But at the same time, we're not going to have a $400 million payroll.
No.
You know, like, let's be real here.
No, I believe they said Cohen was worth
$14 billion.
Exactly.
$14 billion.
Exactly. It's not like all of his assets are now up for grabs for the Mets to improve themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be a wonderful world, but that's just not.
He's not a Steve Ballmer, you know.
Yeah, Yeah, no. So that's not going to happen. Just like you're saying, we are going to have a bunch of extra money. That doesn't mean that the team can go out there and be negligent about it, because we always have to look forward to as soon as, not, you know, we're talking about the next offseason, but we can even talk about this coming, this upcoming trade deadline that we'll see in July. You know, that's when we start seeing numbers kicked around again, and that's important. So, it's important that the Mets are not just overspending.
Throwing out money.
Yeah, listen, you're going to overspend on someone. Don't overspend on everybody.
Exactly. And Bauer is going to cost us a nice penny. Liam Hendricks, I'm thinking about 3 years, $30 million, $35 million. He is the best closer in baseball.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's also going to cost a pretty dime. But McCann and Colomé are going to be low-key signings. But in my head, right, it's just that we have a good offensive team, right? So I'm fine with going ahead and signing JBJ from Boston, which isn't a George Springer. But at the same time, he is a gold glove center fielder. Yes. And you could get him for 1 year, $10 million, let's say. I would do that instead of giving George a five-year deal in my eyes.
And in respects to that, you're making him your everyday center fielder, and you're batting him number ninth in the lineup every single game.
Yes, unless there's no DH, on which John Heyman is saying is a possibility, mm-hmm. which I don't like at all, which is total BS in my eyes.
You don't like the possibility of the DH not being back, or you don't like the DH?
I like the DH because it helps the Mets. I'm with you. I don't like the possibility of the DH not coming back, which makes no sense.
I'm with you.
It was a success in my eyes, at least. And now they're going to take it away for it to come back in 2022. Right. Like, what are we doing?
I love these fans that are purists that don't acknowledge that the game changes every single year.
I mean, look at the world. Look at what's going on in the world. Right. And the one thing that you're worried about, oh my God, the pitcher isn't going to bat. Look at the world. If you think that one thing is normal, that would have been normal back in 1970s, mm-hmm. you're insane.
I probably am going to get a lot of trouble in saying this. I think a lot of ladies just want to go and see Jacob deGrom swing his ass in that batter's box.
I mean, it's not only ladies. I'm there too, bro. I'm there too. Him, Noah, bro, I want to see all those asses. But at the same time, right, I want them to be in a Mets uniform.
Yes.
So I understand, but I'd rather see a Dom Smith up there than see we've gone off the rails here. Yes.
and I hate to cut you off, but where were you in the past with Dom Smith?
I'm still not so high on him. I'm so, like, I see Mets fans dying over him. I mean, I'm not that high on him. I would rather have, I feel like this is a hot mm-hmm. take. I would rather have JD Davis than Dominic Smith right now.
They're both solid. I one thing you got to love about JD is, listen, we all know that pop is going to be there. He's going to hit 30 home runs. But when you
Jumble Dong Davis.
Oh, yeah. Just dingers. But when you see a 280 plus, and I'm actually being lenient with saying 280. He's a guy that can hit 300, which is a dying thing. I know in this age of advanced statistics, which I absolutely love. I do love. However, I don't want to kill off any old statistics as well. But JD Davis is a guy that can hit with a ton of power, and he's a guy that we're also seeing spray the ball the other way. The guy's a throwback. Dom Smith, for the longest time, I was down on, but then ever since, was it this year before last season? I don't even remember. Maybe it might have been last year. Put it all in one big haze these last two seasons. Can't even call last season a season.
It was really this year, though. He wasn't that great last year. He wasn't that.
You're right. It was this shortened season. So okay, yeah. So yeah, he really won over a lot of people, and I'm not gonna lie, I'm one of them. I'm one of them.
Really?
I'm one of them, Eddie. Really? Oh yeah. Oh yeah, buddy.
I mean, like, I'm not doubting that he's gonna be a good player, but at the same time, right? I have to look back on that what he has been, and what he has been eh. Yeah, he had a good 60 games, but I'm not going to go and, like, go heads over heels for him when I think that he's a nice player. Mm-hmm. He's not like a, oh my God, Dom player, you know? Like, I'm on Twitter every day, and these people are like, no, I'm not going to trade Dom for anything. I'm not going to trade Dom. Like, why not? Calm down, everybody. I know that it's a business where what have you done for me recently? But at the same time, right, like, wake up. You know, like, everybody is dying to go out and extend Conforto now, which in my eyes makes no sense because Scott Boras is his agent. And Scott Boras takes advantage of teams, number one. Number two, Conforto just had his best season, if you could even call it a season. But he just had the best 50 games that he has ever had. So you're going to go and you're going to re-sign a player after – when his value is the highest that it's ever been, why not take the gamble and be like, hey, you know, like, if you have the same season that you had this past year, I'll give you the bag. But at the same time, I'm not going to go and give you a contract when your value is the highest it's ever been. It makes no sense to me. No sense, especially when cash is not it's not a problem right now. If it's not a problem, what's the rush? Who cares if we get him for cheaper or not? You know, like, at the end of the day, he's going to be a Met, but don't go and re-sign him when his value is the highest it's ever been.
And it is. And we're talking about Conforto, correct? So you're right. Conforto's value is higher than it's ever been. The one way that I always liked to look at this is is baseball a business? Me and you are both going to agree. We're going to say yes. Now, one thing that you're alluding to right now is cash is not going to exactly be a problem. With that being the case right now, I think the best thing to do would go ahead and establish a good relationship with these younger players early. Conforto was someone that we should have been talking contract extension a couple years back. And there's a couple of these guys that were kind of down this road. You know, we could have said the same thing with Daniel Murphy when he was with the team. However, he was a little bit on the older side. But this is something that Cleveland has done in the past. I really like teams that go ahead and establish a good relationship with their younger players and, you know, hand over that bag as well. Say, hey.
You know, 100%, yeah. Right? But here's his past four seasons, all right? He batted .322, .257, .243, .279, and the year before that, .220.
Right.
All right. So all of a sudden, you're going to go. And yeah, he is a very good, young, solid outfielder. But at the same time, I'm not going ahead and giving a lifetime .250 hitter now $20-plus million dollars a year.
Because
it doesn't make sense. It's
$20-plus million dollars a year. You want that to be your number 3, 4, 5 hitter, if I'm not mistaken. Or even number 2 hitter, if he's really good, you know?
Yeah.
Where do you slot Conforto in this Mets lineup?
It depends who they acquire, if I'm being honest. Because if they get Lindor and they bring in, let's say, a JT, even though I'm not a fan of that. But if they do, right? Like, I have to imagine he's number 5. Which, once again, Michael is a really good young player. But why, you know, it's like buying a stock, you know?
And batting
Amazon
also
right now is at
but
30.
But to cut you off real quick, batting 5th in that stacked lineup you just named is a great spot to be batting. Great, great spot to be batting.
Yeah, it's 100%.
So you got to keep in mind that if he's at least playing just an average level, it's going to look like superstar level because the guys before him, the guys after him are doing their job.
What do you think is a fair contract for him?
That's
right now?
Tough. That's tough. I hate to get into the projection games with contracts. I love to read what other writers say first, and then I always somehow try to just middle it out, average all theirs out, and be like, yeah, that's my real original prediction. Now, to be honest, it's really tough. I'm thinking. You know, I might be light, but I'm thinking 16, 18 a year.
You see, like, if that's the case, I'm 100% doing it. But I think it's going to be more of 5 years, 110, which is, in my eyes, I'm not going to do that. Because if you're Scott Boris, why are you going to settle for 16 a year?
Right.
That doesn't make sense.
Especially when the qualifying offer is at least 18.9.
Yeah, which means next year it's going to go up, which means it's going to be like 19.5. Right.
Probably a little bit less, but yeah.
So he's not going to sign for about 16, 17. If that's the case, 100% I'm in. 100%. But in my eyes, if it's 5 for 110 or 4 for 100, it doesn't make sense when I could re-sign him next year. And let's be honest, right? What's the chances on that he's going to bat over 300 next year? Because I think it's about 15%.
Yeah, it's not well. It, coming into his career, I was very high on Michael Conforto. I thought he'd be, it's a number I'm going to throw out there again, a number I love. I thought he was going to be a minimum 280 hitter. That just hasn't come into fruition. He has not been able to be consistent. That's not all entirely his fault. There have been parts where management sat him down a lot against lefties when it was –
He's definitely been hurt.
He had that. I forget if it was shoulder.
Yeah.
Terrible shoulder problem.
I was at that game.
So, I mean, the one thing that I have to say that really hurts the Mets' case in this is the qualifying. Not that Conforto is getting a qualifying offer, but the qualifying offer basically is now something that an agent can look at and say, okay, now this needs to be the starting point of what my player is worth. And to say that Michael Conforto is worth 18.9 million a year right now, that's tough. It's really tough to say, really tough to do, especially when you're committing long term.
Would you give him 5 years for 110 right now?
It's hard for me to answer that unbiasedly. So
I'll be unbiased. No, it doesn't make sense. Because you're talking about Springer type money for right now. Yeah. Like, no.
Springer fills an immediate need where, you know,
he has a better glove. He has a higher average. Like,
no, Springer puts up a lot of pluses on the board that Conforto just doesn't. I think within the New York Met community, I think a lot of us get emotional and sensitive about our players. Michael Conforto is one of those guys that we're just like, leave him alone. Don't touch him. Please let him stay. He just has one of those big smiles and he's always using it. He's a lovable guy, of course.
But yeah, MetsJunkies.com. So we were saying in the last segment, right, about how Mets fans love our homegrown players. But yet, I'm on Twitter and these people are just willing to give up Mauricio like that. And I understand that we do have Jimenez there. And everybody's like, oh, yeah, but he has the middle infield is all clogged up. But in my eyes, Ronnie right now is the top 65 MLB prospect. Who else was a top 65 MLB prospect that we traded away?
Well, we traded one particular guy that could have played center field in the near future. Exactly. And ironically, these are the same people who are complaining about that trade.
That's exactly my Thank you for bringing it up. That's exactly my... I'm about to go on a rant here for a second. They are comparing Ronnie to Fernando Tatis Jr. Ronnie Mauricio is a special player. He special is super player. Skinny. All right, just wait until he goes and actually has his adult body in him. He has a beautiful swing. He has a good glove. He's tall. He's athletic. His value right now is not nearly as close as where it's going to be before. But yeah, I'm going to give him up and Ahmed and Brandon Nimmo for 1 year of Lindor. No, I don't care if you're going to go and you're going to re-sign him. I don't care. All right? There's Baez next year. There's Arenado next year. There's Trevor Story next year. I'm not giving up Ronnie Mauricio or Francisco Alvarez for 1 year of Lindor. Don't go ahead and trade your crown jewels of international signings, your number one and your number two prospects for 1 year of Lindor. I don't understand why these fans are over here going and saying, oh, yeah, sure, I'll do that. I'll do this. Shut up. Shut up. I don't understand how you go and you guys shame DVW. All right? Absolutely.
Right.
Shame. All right? I'm for trading like Anthony Kay and Justin Dunn. You guys shamed him, but you're willing to give up the number one prospect in the system? Fuck off.
Right, right, right. And if you really do want to go down that rabbit hole, entertain that idea, why are you not doing it for someone that has more than 1 year control and a position that you actually needed to be filled? Instead, what we're talking about is acquiring a player where we already have duality, three players on the depth chart ready to play that. Mauricio is not ready to come up and play that now. However, he is in line.
100%. And I find it so funny because my package is Ahmed, Nimmo, and Brett Beatty. But all of a sudden, Brett Beatty is untouchable, who... Yes, he has a power hitting swing, and the kid has amazing power. But at the same time, he's not going to be a third baseman. He's too big for it. All right, he's not going to be a third baseman, which means he's going to be a DH or first base.
So you're thinking he's on the bulky side, huh?
Yeah, he's a big dude. He's a big dude. I watched him play in Brooklyn next year. I mean, last year. He has a beautiful swing, but he's a big dude and he doesn't play the field, all right? So you have Pete Alonso and Dom Smith already there. But yeah, you're not going to trade Brett Beatty. Why? Because he's a first-round pick. But you're not going to go ahead but you're going to go ahead and trade Ronnie, who's your number one prospect, number one. Number two, just because you don't keep a close eye on a dude doesn't mean he's not good. And number three, right? You guys go and you cry and you bitch about how the Mets don't spend money on the international signings.
Right.
If you're going to trade their best signings, shut up. Just shut up. It pisses me off. Ronnie Mauricio has a chance to be a top 20 MLB prospect. And you're going to go ahead and trade him right now makes no sense at all, and I'm sick and tired of hearing it. I'm sick and tired.
And really, just to give the Mets the proper amount of credit, let's not forget about Francisco Alvarez as well. I think the Mets don't get enough credit with what they do in the IFA. I've really taken notice through the decades that the Mets have done a decent job with international free agents. Exactly. I remember the day when the Mets, I literally think he was 14 years old when the Mets signed Wilmer Flores. And at the time they were saying, this kid looks like Alex Rodriguez over here. He looks like a Cal Ripken Alex Rodriguez as far as build. So the Mets have done a pretty good job in the international free agent market. For anyone to give them a tough time about that's really weird, because that's a place that, like, guy, you have no knowledge in that. What are you complaining about?
Exactly. Just because he wasn't a first round pick doesn't mean he's not an elite level prospect. All right. I don't care if Brett Beatty is a first-round pick. You go over, all right? I mean, you ask any scout in any organization, they're going to pick Mauricio 10 times out of 10.
Yeah. All right? No, without a doubt.
So all you Mets, Twitter, finger people, all right? I don't care. This isn't a hot take. This is common sense, all right? Ronny Mauricio is going to be a star.
I'm going to top you on that. He's going to be one of the more electric players in Major League Baseball when he gets settled.
And the kid is 18. He's 18.
18 years old. 18 years old.
And Brett Beatty is 20, by the way. Just saying.
Exactly. Exactly. Not to mention Vientos is the same age.
Not to mention the fact, right, that I would also trade Vientos. I'm like, all of a sudden now, prospects are movable because we could, Sandy Alderson said, we could finally focus on the acquisition rather than the cost. So during the next international free agent signing timeline, we can go out and we can spend money and love we can it. Restock our farm system just like the Dodgers do, just like the Yankees do. All right. So we could go ahead and restock our farm system. All right. So we could afford to trade Brett Beatty and Mark Vientos now. If it means that we're gonna get back a solid player, we could trade him because we now can focus on the acquisition. All right. You don't have to trade your elite prospects for 1 year. It's not even a rental, but for a guy who has 1 year left on his contract. All right. You don't. And then don't you dare have the audacity to go and cry about the Keon Broxton trade when these prospects are absolutely no ones. You want to go ahead and cry about trading 22-year-old prospects in freaking rookie level ball.
Right.
But you're okay with giving up your number one prospect.
I mean,
it gets me so upset. I'm sorry.
No, you're right. You're right. But that Jake Mariznick trade, not that I knew, what was his name? Blake Taylor? Like, I really honestly don't even remember the kid before the trade. But afterwards, it's like, oh my God, well, you know, they tore our hearts out, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But really, he didn't.
Like, you had no idea exactly who Blake Taylor was either.
He didn't register on my radar. He just didn't register on my radar.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. And if we're being real, Mariznick was pretty decent. He just always got hurt.
And you kind of knew what you were getting from Mariznick. He wasn't coming to the Mets to be a star or an everyday player. He was there to fill a late inning role.
Shoes.
Exactly. He was there to fill Legarza's shoes. And just to what you said, he got hurt and that happened. And it's something that we see every year, not with just the Mets, but with every team. So, you know, to sit and cry about it, It's you know, the people that are doing so are the people that really want to and always choose to. It's a new day and age.
And it's like these top accounts too, you know, with like 10,000 followers, 8,000 followers. And it's like, why are you feeding this BS and your non-knowledgeable ass and saying how you're willing to trade all your top prospects, but then cry about a single-A 23-year-old? Like, shut up.
Yeah. No, I hear you on that. But when it comes to, I think what you're talking about as far as these top accounts, most of them obviously are associated with websites and blogs. And then we're talking about clicks and things of that nature. And then, you know, I don't have, I don't have a problem with the, you know, quote unquote clickbait to me. I'm not going to lie. It's just to me, like the way that registers to me is you write something interesting or you don't, you know? So
yeah, exactly.
I you know, as you know, Devi, I'm a writer. I prefer to write something that's interesting. And if people want to go ahead and say, hey buddy, that's clickbait, You can call it shit bait. You can call it whatever you want. At the end of the day, I'm putting myself in my writing, and that doesn't change. Our
no one is forcing you to read it. Exactly.
No one's forcing anybody to read it. Are titles sometimes a little bit provocative? yeah, why wouldn't I want them to be? You know?
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, I guess I do have a biased opinion about that as well.
But I'm not talking about guys who have websites and everything like that. Right. I see like these personalities who have a big impact among people who don't know on the Mets system as much, and they're all saying, "Oh yeah, you know, like they're a bunch of sheep, but these sheep have a loud voice." And this loud voice can have an effect on a new ownership where it's like, yeah, I want to give the fans what they want, which I'm concerned about.
Yes, yes, especially when your owner comes and says that right out the gate, which was an amazing, amazing move, an amazing gesture. I've never seen anything like that besides maybe from someone like Mark Cuban. Steve Cohen is – that guy's the winner. How can anyone not? And you know what, like, I don't mean to get into this cliche thing that we're going to get into in the next several months, but the Yankees better watch out.
The only way that you don't like Uncle Stevie Cohen is if you're a Yankee fan or a Dodger fan, because he's coming after y'all. He's coming after you, and I'm so excited and I can't wait.
Tell the Phillies too. They should be worried.
Which is funny because I see that the Phillies now all of a sudden have an open pocketbook when they were just crying poor, you know, which doesn't make sense. All of a sudden now they're going to re-sign JT and get Charlie Morton and everybody, when it's like a couple of months ago you couldn't afford to pay your own GM, you know, like what's going on?
Well, not to mention just a few weeks ago we were hearing how far apart JT and the Phillies were.
Yeah, and then he comes out and says $200 million, which, number one, is blasphemy. Number two, right? Like, if you always wanted to be in Philly, why not negotiate them the whole season, you know? Because for sure, you knew that Uncle Stevie Cohen was coming.
Exactly.
And then you go out and say how you don't really want to be in New York. So what the hell were you doing? No other team out there has the type of money that can afford you.
So
why wait for free agency,
right,
when you weren't going to go to the top team that wanted you? Why didn't you negotiate the whole season? It made no sense to me. No sense to me at all.
You're right. No, you're right. But I do want to go back to JT just to talk about something that you'd mentioned. As far as that $200 million number that he threw out there. And listen, I want to start off by saying I am not one of these guys that are on his bandwagon. I probably would rather do without him because I absolutely adore prospect Francisco Alvarez. I think in 3-4 years, he is going to be the guy. I don't want to sign a catcher to the point where the Mets can say, well, maybe we could do without Francisco. No, I don't want that to happen. And
that's why James McCann is so perfect.
Exactly.
A 2-3 year deal. Francisco Alvarez was born 11/19/01. So he's not even 18 yet.
Exactly. So I'm just going to go ahead and here defend Realmuto. Realmuto is right on the 30 mark, if I'm not mistaken, right?
He is 30.
Okay. Yes. So in my opinion, I would look at it if I was myself. I think that he's just throwing the highest number out there just so he can get a $140 million deal. I think he's throwing $200 million out there just so he can secure that $140. He's 30 years old. He's a catcher. While the DH will be a thing, a DH should be one of two things. It should be reserved for a player that is an absolute monster that can't play the field. Or
like a Nelson Cruz,
or it should be reserved for a Ben Zobrist, Jeff McNeil that can, and not for DH, but where this player can go give your third baseman a day off and give, now you could slot your third baseman as a DH and essentially give him a day off of the field.
I agree 1,000%, which just makes it seem like the Mets just aren't a fit, because the Mets have Pete Alonso and the Mets have Robinson Cano, who, yes, both can DH. Yes. So if you have to have JT DHing let's say it's a 5-year deal, all right? So he's probably going to be behind the plate until he's 33. So his 34 and 35-year-old seasons, he's going to DH. What are you going to do with Pete Alonso? You're just going to dump him? You don't need, like I said before, you don't need a Robinson Cano behind the plate.
No.
You don't. And there's no reason to go up and do it. But there is this one player who we can acquire for cheap, at least in my opinion. The Rockies owner said about how the Rockies can't afford him, basically, and about how the Rockies are going to take monster losses the next 5 years, which means that Arenado is as good as gone. So what do you think about him coming over?
What I think about that is I like to, in my big brain, because I'm a genius, I like to go ahead and think back of when he signed that extension and how emotional and how heartfelt and what is it with Colorado that gives these players these huge, basically lifetime contracts?
Weed is legal there, no?
Oh, yeah, weed's legal everywhere now, baby.
not over here.
No, I understand. I understand.
I got in trouble. I'm not going to say anything, but like.
I think they sprinkled something else in their weed when they were throwing contracts out. But it's really interesting that these relationships that Colorado ends up building with their players. There was one point where they essentially said they would give Troy Tulowitzki a lifetime contract, that, you know, they love him and do anything for him. But then the point came where they needed to trade him, which is a realistic thing. I just don't understand why you're telling him in the first place that he's going to, you know, remain. You know, why are you giving him this idea that this guy's never leaving Colorado? The same thing with Arenado. I don't know what the Rockies were thinking when they were doing this.
COVID hit and that changed everything. So maybe they didn't take into account that the whole world is going to shut down.
Do you really think that, and this is not me being facetious at all, because this is just straight curiosity. Do you really think that's a COVID decision?
Yes. 100%.
I really so now I guess we're going to get a little political now. I think there has to be a point where, and you know, we can this is a small thing I'm talking about, and you can kind of look at this at a larger scale with what we're doing in the world. However, just to get back to what I'm saying, I think because since Colorado is a poorer team, I think one thing MLB should do is step in for the sake of competition.
I hear what you're saying. I do, but the Rockies do have a competitive team. Even if you take out Nolan, I do think that the Rockies are a good team. But if you look at what your downfall is, right, it's always pitching. And what do the Mets have to offer now? Young pitching. I'm like, you could trade a Josh Wolf or a JT Ginn for a Arenado type player.
If I was Colorado, I would just completely give up on the idea of going for good pitching. I would go for mid to end pitching forever, because their aces end up looking like mid rotation guys.
What do you think is a fair package then? Because you do have to remember that it's not going to cost a whole lot. I think the main piece is the Josh Wolf, because we're doing them a favor. What's going on right now is the same thing that happened with Giancarlo.
Let me blow your mind a little bit. If you go on MetsJunkies.com, what you'll be able to find is an article by my good friend Corne, who co-wrote the book with me. By the way, the name of the book is The Year After Our Tears of Joy, because it was the year after.
I love it.
So that's the name of the book. However, Cornet wrote an amazing article, an amazing article. Go to MetsJunkies.com if you want to search. In the search bar, type in, all you got to do is type in hello. One of the articles that are going to come up is, hello, is it me you're looking for? And it's about Nolan Arenado. And what we were able to do, or I should say what Cornet was able to do, was he was able to go to baseballtradevalues.com. I don't know if you're familiar with this website, Debbie, are you?
Not really.
It's a really difficult website to navigate. However, what they do is they basically quantify the trade value of every player in Major League Baseball. And Nolan Arenado has a value on the negative side due to his contract, and I guess possibly because of his home road splits, which I do not put a lot of stock into. I just want to throw that out there right now. However, in order to get this deal done, according to baseballtradevalues.com, this is something that Cornet went ahead and did and tried to, he proposed the trade and got accepted. So what he did was he offered, are you ready?
Yep.
I think you're going to love this. Okay, so let me tell you who the Mets are going to get first.
All right, I'm all ears.
So the Mets would receive Nolan Arenado, of course. Now the Mets would receive a second player. Yeah. The second player, Kyle Freeland, left-handed pitcher. Yes.
Really?
In return, the Mets would have to give up Queries Familia. And that's it. Queries Familia. That's all.
That's it.
It's a dump. It's a salary dump.
Yeah, I mean, you have to imagine though that you're going to get more.
So baseball trade values is highly, highly undervaluing Nolan Arenado. Is this?
Yeah. I mean, in no world is Nolan Arenado a negative asset. Even now, a team is going to give you a good player.
And more than one, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So I do agree with you. However, that is something that Cornet, and I love it. I love it. Just there's definitely more to the article. I urge all your listeners to go ahead and check it out. It's a really interesting read. However, I 1,000% agree with you, and Cornet also agrees with us in the article as well. He does state that that baseball trade values is undervaluing him, and that it would probably take believe it or not, just a prospect or two on top of Familia, which is still a pretty damn good deal.
In my head, I'm trying to process a trade to where we send over cash, we send over Josh Wolf, and remember I said how we send over cash? I'm sending them Robinson Cano. I'm trying to see if I eat up, let's say, $10 million above Robinson Cano's contract. So I send about $30 million with them. So they get Cano for about $10 a year. Do they do that trade? And we open up second base for Jeff McNeil. And we could put Jimenez at third base, and then maybe Lindor if we end up pulling the trigger on that at shortstop. Is that a possibility?
Well, first off, I'd love to start off with, I love your creativity over here. Good job. I don't want to play fantasy baseball with you, so let's not do that. is that a possibility, man? I don't know. That's tough. Anytime you talk about involving Cano in a trade, always there's a negative annotation with it, and it's understandable. Even though Cano's putting up solid numbers at 93 years old, it's a thing. One thing that Colorado would have to look forward to is, of course, having the DH now around and playing in Coors Field. He can
Exactly. You know, he batted 300 in Citi Field. He could bat 330 there.
With his eyes closed. Cano's a pure hitter. You know, as much as we like to bag on him because he was a damn Yankee, and shame him for that. Shame.
He's not as bad right now as people are making him out to be. The only problem is that we have McNeil, whose real position is at second base, and we have no room for Cano. That's the problem. He's not as bad as everybody is making it seem, which is bothering me a lot.
No. You kind of hurt me. You kind of triggered me. Reminding me that McNeil's a natural second baseman and we went and did all that. Just why? Why? I love that idea. I also think that Cano's one of these guys that if you are Colorado, I would look in. I don't remember who they're using at first base on a regular routine. However,
I know last year it was Daniel Murphy.
That's right. Murphy's a free agent this year, if I'm not mistaken.
I think that does
leave a spot open. That might be two spots open with a DH included. That's a good look for Colorado. I just don't know if Colorado is even willing to spend as high as 10 on Cano right now.
You see, I do hear that, but here's where my head, I guess, is playing a little bit of the game. To where if they trade Arenado and Trevor Story is going to be a free agent next year, they're not going to re-sign him. What they could do is what the Wilpons did to us for years. Say, oh, hey, look, Robinson Cano, though, is going for $24 million against the books. So what do you mean we're not spending money? And Robinson Cano is a name, and they don't really have a second baseman.
Robinson Cano will be chasing milestones, which will put meat in the seats.
Exactly. And Robinson Cano was a star name, and people want to see a star name, especially if Arenado and Trevor Story aren't going to be there. Who are they going to go out to see? Charlie Blackman? I mean, like, yeah, he's a really good player, but he's not Arenado or Trevor Story.
He's a played out story in Colorado. I'm sure the diehard fans amongst that Rockies group absolutely love and adore him, but he's not what he was.
Yeah. And they're going to need to show the fans that they are spending money somehow. You know, like, you're not going to be the Rays to where you have that type of analytic team and you don't want to suck so bad, especially if you're going to lose a ton of money, because absolutely no one is going to show up. So if you could frame it about how you got a 10-time All-Star back, you got a good young pitcher, and maybe you throw in, Brandon Nimmo.
Yeah.
You know? And you get back a player to be named later if you're the Mets.
On the Rockies. I think Nimmo is what does it, actually. I think if you put a guy like Brandon Nimmo in Coors Field, number one, No, he's getting on base at a Todd Helton, Larry Walker, Joey Votto level.
On base machine.
Now imagine if you got more pop behind that bat, more balls in those gaps. I think he'd be great on that team, actually. That's a good call. That might be the piece to get that trade done.
And if you're a Mets fan, how can you say no? You can't. How could you say no? Not only do you get a platinum gold glove winner, a guy who won the gold glove every single year that he was in the league, a guy who is a top 10 MLB player, all right? You also get Cano out of here, which opens up a spot for McNeil to where he could be a gold glove second baseman. He does have a good glove at second base. And then once again, right, if money is not an option, you could go out and you could get a decent outfielder that could replace Brandon Nimmo. And it's not like Brandon Nimmo had some insane glove that is like, oh my God, we're going to lose a gold glove
Well, also
award contender. No.
Also,
he was
also what
I'm
we,
sorry.
You know, what the Mets can do, because at the end of the day, we really don't want Nimmo in center field. If Nimmo is a part of the deal, we can focus on acquiring a center fielder, and just if we end up keeping a JD Davis, we could just I like him in the outfield. I like him in the corner. I like him in left field. I really do. I like him in left or right field. Is he the best? No. I think he's better than what people give him credit for, however. So I would, in that sense, hold on to JD if the Mets are getting rid of Nimmo. If they can keep JD and acquire Arenado. I don't know if that's going to be the case. However,
JD, in my eyes, is going to be off the table in that type of trade, because I would have a hard time parting with him for Francisco Lindor. So I don't see myself trading him in that deal. But I do. But the more I think about that package, the more I think that it's possibly to be a realistic package, which means now I'm going to get overexcited, because I'm like, yo, I could be the GM right now and just make this team an all-star team. So I have to calm myself down right now, sure, and be like, yes, I'm creative and everything like that.
No,
like,
sure, sure.
You know?
No, listen, I like that idea. I like it a lot when you involve Nimmo. I know a lot of Mets fans love Nimmo. I do like Nimmo. I think Nimmo is more than a fourth outfielder. I don't think it's a question. It's all, you know, the OBP says it all. However, we're talking about Nolan Arenado, and when I'm just, you know, exactly. Let's talk devil's advocate for a second, because it kind of sucks when everyone's just agreeing on the same thing. Me and you sound like a couple of idiots, just, you know, agree. Hey, yeah, yeah. Hey, you're right. Hey, you're right. Yeah, yeah, we're right. Hey, yeah, you're right. Okay. So one thing is, let me play devil's advocate. So a lot of people out here, a lot of fans are saying that Arenado away from Coors Field is just not the same player he is in the Mile High City. What do you have to say to that, Debbie?
That, number one, DJ LeMahieu kind of, he didn't debunk it, but he gave me enough confidence to be like, you know what? If DJ can do it, I think that Nolan can do it. Number one. Number two is that, mm-hmm, let's say it doesn't pan out, right? Mm-hmm. He has a fantastic glove. And the Mets have been absolutely dreadful on defense. He has a fantastic glove, number one. Number two, right? Like, you're not giving up an insane package to where it's really going to hurt you. You're giving up Robinson Cano, which is awesome. You're giving up Josh Wolf, who's an okay prospect, and you're giving up Brandon Nimmo, who's an okay player. So it's not a crazy package to where it's going to cost you in the future. And worst case scenario, you have a gold glove.
Right. And in Colorado's view, these guys are players that would more than likely shine in Colorado more so than they did in New York.
100%. You have to imagine that Josh Wolf is going to be a top four prospect for them. And Robinson Cano is a decent player. He is a good player right now. There's just no room for him on the Mets compared to Colorado. And number three, Brandon Nimmo is a good baseball player. But if it means that we're going to get back a Nolan Arenado player, I'm going to trade him. That doesn't mean that he's not a good player. So the Rockies right now are acquiring three very good players. And I don't think there's any doubt in that mind. And all three of these players are all...
No, you're right. You're right. And back now. To, I guess, back to kissing each other's butts. I agree. The first thing that I look at with the Arenado acquisition, if it were to be, is his defense. That defense doesn't do... Coors Field does not affect his defense. It's called the hot corner for a reason. So exactly. I would 100% look forward to that.
Secondly, I know you brought up DJ LeMahieu and what he was able to do away from Coors Field. I do think that was a bit of an anomaly, and I think those numbers are skewed a little bit because he did just eventually play in the Coors Field of the East Coast and get right. That's, you know, like there's places like Yankee Stadium as well as Citizen Park, right? That the
100%, right? I'm a batting 330.
Those places, you know, you're gonna, if you're a it's like playing in Coors Field. That's just my opinion.
If you're a power hitter, yeah, it makes you get more home runs. But I don't, he's more of a double hitter. He's more of a, you know, so look at the Yankees, right? There's Luke Voit, who I think gains a lot by the fact that he does play in the Yankees Park. But he's not batting 330. He's batting 250. So if you have major pop, yeah, it's a major advantage. But DJ batting 330, I think really.
No, you're not wrong. And it does say a lot to the type of hitter he is. At the end of the day with Arenado, I guess the point that I'm trying to get to with being away from Coors Field, traveling in and out of Colorado is not an easy thing. Training and playing in Colorado, while your numbers are better, it's not easy to train in Colorado. That's like a scientific proven thing. Any player outside of baseball, that basketball, hockey, whenever away teams travel to Denver, they're always their stamina drops a great deal. So what I like to think is if Nolan Arenado got away from the traveling out of Coors, because that's where he's traveling out of always. It's always that one place he's traveling out of is Coors Field, Denver. I'd like to think if that he was traveling out of a place that elevation wasn't as high, that he would be more acclimated to playing in a more sea level type deal. Man, I can't think of the words. I'm trying to say. However, I think that he would be able to acclimate to playing on the road. I think playing at Colorado is something that benefits players. However, it is harder also playing in Colorado. I think that he's the type of player, if putting it all forward, he would do just fine. Is he going to do as good as Coors Field? No, no one would. But his defense is always going to be there. And that's something that anytime the Mets are lacking, fans will point out. So, yeah.
Exactly, 100%. In my eyes, it is a little bit of a gamble, but it's a gamble worth taking. I was going to hop in to some under-the-radar free agent signings, but I got to edit this and everything. Jem, would you like to come on, hopefully,
man, the next podcast, available if you're available? For any podcast you have. It's been great talking Mets baseball with you. You know, if there's one thing that I love to do, I'm sure you're the same way, when it's getting dark really early at like 4:30 in the afternoon, I like to listen to Mets stuff.
Crazy.
I like to talk Mets baseball, so I'd be more than glad to come back and talk Mets baseball with you. And in that same aspect, I'd actually like to let you know and ask you. I actually started my own podcast today, which I filmed my first episode just like an hour before me and you got started today. Actually, you're the inspiration to this because you – yeah. Dev, you shot me information over, and it just really inspired me to go ahead and start it. So one thing I'd love to do is extend an invitation to you as well. I'd love to have you on there a bunch of times. You know, I'd love to talk Mets baseball with you on my podcast as well. Man, that's
I would love to, man. Thank you. Thank you. No, that you. Sounds I really feel awesome. Honored right now.
I'd
thank
like
you.
To tell everyone to please check out MetsJunkies.com as well as the Whole Lot of Mets podcast. Besides that, it's been an honor doing this show, and I can't wait to come back, Debbie.
Me too. What's your podcast called? So these guys can
man,
go
man, that's
out
a good call. I would have just logged right off, bro. You know, obviously the website is MetsJunkies.com. So I'm trying to stay within the theme. So I'm calling the podcast the Mets Junkies Fix because every junkie needs their fix.
Love it.
So, check out Love Mets it. Junkies Fix, the Mets Junkies Fix. Check out MetsJunkies.com. Check me out on the Whole Lot of Mets podcast because I am going to be here. I love what you are doing, man. Me and you have been chopping it up for a little bit Thank on you, Twitter, man. And it was a really good thing we've been doing that. We're going to do a lot of good things in the future besides that, man. Again, thank you and great luck Amen. Moving forward, bro.
Thank you so much. Mets fans, this has been the Whole Lot of Mets podcast. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day, guys. Thank you.